We are continuing this morning our series on good works, which we've been, this is number 7, I think, or 8, in our series on being devoted to good works, things that we are thinking about, actions that we can take in our service to God, or habits that we can develop, or things that we can do, right? We're thinking about things that we can do in our relationship with God. Now, last week we noted exhortation, a word that in all of its different translations in the English New Testament has to do with motivating people with our words, right? We noted that that is best accomplished when we're together. And of course, the typical scripture that people would use when we think about that idea, Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, we rightfully, quote unquote, rightfully typically associate this with the worship assembly, but the idea of meeting together to encourage, to exhort, is not something that just happens in the corporate assembly, right? We can meet at other times. I know it doesn't feel like that sometimes, but you can be with other Christians and encourage and exhort and motivate them outside of the 4 hours, is it four? 4 hours a week that we are here together. And it doesn't have to be with the whole group, right? In fact, I would wager that most Christian, I don't know, it's hard to say that. Depends on your life, really. Most Christian encouragement happens not in the 4 hours here. Now, maybe that's not true for you. If most of your Christian encouragement happens in these 4 hours a week, we'll see today, maybe that is an indication that something's not right in your Christian life. Because how much time do we spend away from the corporate worship? I mean, by far, the vast majority of our time is spent outside of this assembly. And yet we are still encouraged to meet together in other contexts. So, as we think about our list of good works that we're devoting ourselves to, we've done service and teach. We're going to group some of these together as we're going to group today. This week, we're going to look at hospitality and visiting, two sides of the same coin, right? Good works of fellowship, of being together. If we're thinking about being hospitable, of course, that would be people coming to you. We're thinking about visiting, that would be you going to them. It's the same thing, though, right? It's being together, fellowship. So we'll look at hospitality first. This is one of the more interesting Greek words in the New Testament. I try not to use too much Greek, but this is an interesting word. Philoxenia is the Greek word here. Kindness to strangers. It only appears twice in the New Testament. Both times it's translated hospitality. You can easily see the two parts of this word. Philo from phileo, right? One of the words for love, brotherly love. Brotherly love that we have for one another, for family members. And of course, xenia, from which we get words like xenology or xenophobia, which is alternatively the study of aliens or fear of aliens. Aliens not just in the extraterrestrial sense, but fear of strangers would be xenophobia, right? So love of strangers. That's what this word is, brotherly love towards strangers. Now, again, the word only appears twice in the Bible as a noun, hospitality. It does appear once more as a verb, which we're not going to look at. Romans 12, 9 through 13, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. That's this word here. Seek to show hospitality. Hebrews 13, 1 through 3. And I want you to note the commonalities in these texts, because there's some not just common in the specific instruction about hospitality, but the context. There's some commonality in the context here. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, angels, again, we've talked about this word at length before, the word messenger. Here, I think, very specifically has to do with heavenly beings, right? Unawares. If it's just a person, you know that they're a messenger. Hooray for them. But unawares, right? Angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, and I want you to note this because we're going to talk about the second part of this in just a minute. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated since you are also in the body. Now, in one of these, the word is clearly in the sense of hosting strangers, specifically people that you don't know, right? That would be the entertaining angels unawares. While the other verse in Romans more closely ties it to the people we know, the saints, right? Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. So we're seeing both sides of this hospitality idea. And showing hospitality to strangers is not really something that we do very often in our culture. Probably would have come up more in their culture. We can think about, of course, the times when Jesus sent out his disciples. He has the two times in the Gospels where he sends them out to do various ministry, and he's expecting that they will stay with people in those towns. So presumably a traveler would come and somebody would host them, and the idea of the blessing that would be upon those who hosted these traveling evangelists or traveling disciples, and the idea that if a person would not accept you into their house, then you would just shake the dust from your feet and move on. I don't know, when was the last time you just had a random person in your house? Probably not very often. It's not something we do very often. But maybe we should. This is a word that, again, very clearly, maybe we're not hosting people in our house, but it does have to do with how you treat people you don't know and how you're willing to support them and have fellowship with them and provide for them. People, again, that you don't know. Now, in the other context, of course, specifically the saints in the Romans context, I think much more talking about people that we do know, obviously. People that we have familiarity with because they are saints. Now, again, in the original context, could be people from other congregations, people from other places that are traveling, that they are saints, fellow brothers. So you're having them in your home and you're providing for them and you're providing shelter for them. But again, as we apply the word hospitality, there's some commonalities here in these discussions. Both of these words are used in the midst of a discussion of being loving, right? Both of these started with, let love be genuine, let brotherly love continue. Hospitality, as we would use the word, having people in your home, but the idea of being in charge of the fellowship, that you're doing the work of the fellowship. That's what we're really going for here. You're the one that's providing the food or the venue or the organization. You're the one doing the work for the other person as an extension of love, right? So both are used in a discussion of being loving. Both are surrounded by reminders of our Christian unity, or should be Christian unity. What do we see here? Love one another, outdo one another in showing honor, right? Be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints. He's reminding them over and over again about the togetherness we have and our responsibility towards one another. The Hebrew writer goes on to say what? Remember those who are in prison. Why? Since you are also in the body. There's some togetherness and united aspect of this hospitality. So, how can we then devote ourselves to this good work? As we're thinking about hospitality in the most basic sense, here's the most basic question. How often do you open your home to others? This is the most base level, if I'm thinking about this word, the most base level understanding. How often do you open your home to others? I don't know. It's just up to you. I don't know how often you do that. When was the last time you had someone over? Now, you could think about that in two ways. Somebody who was in need. Maybe you didn't know them, but maybe someone in the church. When did you do that last? I don't know. How much time, the flip side of this, do you spend isolated just with your family or close circle of friends? Now, of course, we understand the nature of human relationships. We have closer friendships with others. I am not equally close to all of you. I just don't know all of you equally well. I don't have the same relationship with all of you. You're the same way, right? We all have our sort of circle of people that we associate with the most based on common interests, based on shared history, any number of things. But if that's all the people you spend your time with, not sure you're showing hospitality. Because key in the word hospitality, philoxenia, is the idea of someone you don't know as well. Somebody who's not a close friend. Somebody who's not a family member. Somebody who you are not as familiar with. That's the idea of stranger. Even in the church, there are people in this fellowship I know that we do not know as well. That you and I do not have a close relationship. You don't have as close a relationship with other people. So how often are you just with the people you already know versus getting to know more people and being encouraging to other people that you're not as close with? How much time do you spend with other Christians i.e. the saints, right? That's in Romans, the saints, outside of this. And this is what I mean. If you're only getting your Christian encouragement here, you're doing it wrong. You are. You're not engaging in the good work of hospitality. Or the flip side, which we'll talk about, visiting. This, like anything else, is a talent or a skill. This is some people are better at this than others. Some people are better at hosting than others. That's okay. It's also something you can get better at, right? Something you could do better than you currently have the ability to do. And as we've looked at in a lot of these good works, I really want to emphasize this idea of mentoring. Maybe you think, oh man, I'm really good at hospitality. I'm really good at having people in my home, even people I don't know. The conversation flows well. There's not those awkward dead pauses, which is my problem. I'm very bad at keeping the conversation going. But maybe you're really good at that. Is there somebody that you could mentor in being hospitable? Somebody that you could do it with, right? You think, well, here's somebody I don't know as well. I'm going to have them over. But you know what? When I have these people over, I'm also going to have this other person over that I want to see how I do it, that I want to teach how to do this. Or you could flip it and think about it the other way. Maybe you're bad at it, like me. You're bad at being hospitable. Is there somebody you could learn from? Is there somebody you could ask, hey, I noticed that you do this really well. Can you teach me how to do this? And I suspect they'll be excited to teach because it's fellowship, right? Having that Christian fellowship together. Now, the opposite side of this, visiting, right? We're okay. Sometimes we're going to have people come to us. Sometimes we're going to have to go to them, obviously. That passage in Hebrews, which we've already read several times, Hebrews 13, 1 through 3. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those, and then the second part of this, right? Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. Now, the Hebrew writer has already indicated this duality here. To entertain is to host, to have in your home or you're hosting somewhere else. But remembering those who are in prison, the prisoner cannot come to you. That's the whole point of prison, right? They're not allowed to leave. They can't come to you. What can you do? And it's not just the prisoner, but others. James 1, 26 through 27. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. This person's religion is worthless. Now, religion is a messy word in our context, in our culture. It's a bloated, loaded word, religion. What does that mean? Religion is simply the pursuit of a relationship with a deity. And that's why it applies not just to Christianity, but Hinduism, Buddhism, whatever you want to put in there. The human pursuit of a relationship with a deity, religion that is pure and undefiled before specifically Yahweh, our deity, right? God the Father. Our pursuit of a relationship with Him that is pure and undefiled is what? To visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Think about all the things He could put here. Pure and undefiled relationship with God. What is that? Man, we could list 24 things, 100 things. And James is going to distill this into the basic essence. And what does he pick? To visit orphans and widows. Not evangelizing. Not great works of charity. Not leading in the worship, to visit those in need. We've spent a lot of time in the Minor Prophets talking about this. God's attitude toward the needy in Israel, and how people in Israel during the times of the Minor Prophets were not caring for the fatherless, the orphan, the widow, the traveler. Who would be the stranger, right? The idea of hosting strangers, that would be the traveler. All of the ways that God viewed these people in Israel and how they were being mistreated. Their needs were not being met. They were not being supported, not being encouraged, not being provided for. Of all the things that James could have listed as pure religion, visiting Specifically who? Those who don't have key people in their lives. That's the thing here, right? Orphans don't have who? They don't have parents. Widows don't have who? They don't have their spouse. Visiting people who don't have other people in their lives. Because the visit's going to do what? It's going to fill that void, right? The visit, the going to be with that person is going to provide for them the very thing that they lack. Because their family has passed on. The visiting person fills a need in the life of the one being visited. So we're thinking about good works to devote yourself to. Things that you can do that make a tangible, practical difference in someone's life. Having people into your home, going to their home. Being together. Now, visiting is a good work, again, about filling the void. Now, again, of course, we visit often to have fun and enjoy ourselves, right? We go to people's houses because we're going to have a good time. But I really want to focus on the thing beyond that here. It is good to have fun and to have enjoyment, but there is a need that we're thinking about here. Need in the lives of our fellow Christians, needs in the lives of other people that trump or supersede our own selves. As we think about the love that we've been talking about so far, the love that should be filling our hearts, love that puts the needs of others ahead of ourselves, right? Love that seeks the good for the other person. It's about the exhortation, that word that we looked at last week, the motivation, the comfort, the encouragement of our presence. Who is there in your life that has that need? Now, there's two possible answers to that question. Either you know who it is, and you're either doing this or you're not, or you don't know who that is, in which case, what are you going to do? You're going to ask, right? If you don't know who it is in your life that needs this, you're going to be active in finding out the answer to that question. You could ask the elders. The elders, that's one of the things they do. They keep track of who might have this need. You could ask the elders, hey, is there somebody that needs a visit? And you know what? I bet all of the elders will be excited to tell you, this person, go encourage this person. You could ask me. You could ask any number of people, your friends and family. They know people, I'm sure, that need help, that need this encouragement. Who in your life, orphan, widow, mistreated? Now we can think about the sick, those who are in prison. We're going to read in a verse in a couple of minutes. People who have some need in their lives that you could encourage by your presence. Now there's a cultural dynamic at play here. Again, it just is the way it is. There's a little bit of a discomfort in that situation because we don't do this as much. We just don't. Our culture is more isolated. And this is not one of those back in my day sort of things. A, because I'm not old enough, but B, I don't like to think about culture that way. It's not a denigration of culture. We're just different. Cultures, different societies are different than other societies, and it just is what it is. And that's okay. It's okay for societies to be different. It just means that we have to work a little harder, right? That's all that means. We have to work a little harder because I suspect in Israel's day, in the day of the New Testament, they were doing this a lot more than we do. We tend to be more isolated as people, and we just is what it is in our culture. So what do we think? Well, I don't do this because it's going to be awkward. Oh man, I don't know what to say to that person. I don't have anything in common with them. You guys hate the awkward silence. Oh man, I hate it so much. So I just sort of blabber until it's full. And I'm not sure, how do I do this? What should I say? How long should I stay? Well, am I supposed to stay an hour? I don't really have an hour to do that. You know who you start to sound like when we start asking these questions, when we start having this attitude? Man, you sound a lot like Moses at the burning bush. Moses standing in the presence of God, who's told to go do this awesome thing, to go save Israel. And he has excuse after excuse. I'm not a good talker. What am I going to say? Who do I tell them sent me? And God gives him reason after reason and support after support. One of the things is he sends Aaron. Might I suggest again, you could go visit with somebody else. You don't have to do it by yourself. It's not like there's some rule. You could do it with somebody else. Mentoring and being mentored again. And finally, at the end of this, Moses makes excuse after excuse after excuse, and God just says, do it, Moses. Get over yourself and do it. Now, you're not being asked to save Israel. Oh, hallelujah for that. Just to visit somebody who is discouraged. You can do that. I can do that. Why is this so important as we conclude? Being hospitable. Again, not just people you know well. Right? That's the word, philoxenia. Love of strangers. Being hospitable towards those who are, you are not as familiar with. And visiting those who are in need. Why is this so important? Matthew 25, 34 through 40. A passage we've read several times recently. Matthew 25, 34 through 40. This is talking in context here about the judgment, right? He's talking about the end of time. Everybody's going to be gathered together. There's going to be judgment. And he will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. That's what that word is. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison. You came to me. Twice he lists the things that we've been talking about in our study. To have people into your home, to go to them. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we do that? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Jesus, you haven't been around. When have we seen you doing that? Like, you're in heaven. You're not here. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least being what? This is an important word. Those that the world has forgotten. Those who are not prominent in the way the world thinks about prominence. Not wealthy, not influential, not powerful. Not elevated according to the standards of the world. As much as you did it to the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. These good works of fellowship, as we show love to one another, we show love to Jesus. Who did both of these, right? When did he visit us? Isn't that the incarnation? That's the whole point of his life. He comes and visits those who are in need. And he wants to be hospitable because what is he going to do? He's going to come back and invite us to be with him. Jesus is many of these good works, the exemplifier of these good works. Visiting those in desperate need of support and love and encouragement, coming to earth for us so that he can take us with him to be in his home. You can do that. You can do that for others and be an encouragement in that way.